When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Folks, if you'd like a copy of my best-selling first book, Tales of a First Round Nothing, head on over to ecwpress.com. If you'd like a copy of my second book, Tales with TR, Fights, Film, and Folklore, head on over to www.flankerpress.com. If you'd like either copy personalized, just add a note. Thanks for listening to my podcast, and happy reading.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
What are you at? Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to episode 191B of Tales with TR. Today we welcome Hockey Hall of Fame Newfoundland member, Baseball Hockey Hall of Fame Newfoundland member, Sports Hall of Fame Newfoundland member, 1972 Minnesota Fighting Saint, three-time Hamilton Red Wing, Muskegon, former Muskegon Mohawk, former Lansing Lancer, former Kalamazoo Wing, former Winston-Salem Polar Twin, Terry Ryan Sr. Senior, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Nursing a cold, obviously. So, it could be worse, but no, overall, I'm feeling pretty good.
And how was your experience at the NHL All-Star Game?
We had a wonderful time. Personally, I had a great time. Met a lot of fans up there who were just the best. And the experience was a really, really good one.
Well, what I want to get into, I've kind of summarized our experience in the first episode of this week. But we ran into one of my special times of the weekend, even though I'd met him before, was when we ran into Dougie Gilmore in that clothing store. Weird place to have beers, but anyway, there's a lot going on.
Nobis, I think it was
Nobis,
called.
Nobis, it was called, yeah. So Tessa Bonhomme.
It was high end, I know that.
Well, I went to say, oh, maybe I'll get this jacket. $5,200.
Yeah, it was high end.
Putting that back on the rack.
I just went by the spread they had. It was like,
oh yeah,
I loved it.
It was wild. But anyway, so what happened was, so my buddy Ryan McDonald was there, plays Michaels on Shores. You guys will know who that is. Most of you. And Tran Sanwith was there, the Sandman, a couple of his buddies, Jason Seawright and his wife. So my thing was that I'd never really listened to you speak about his brother. So for those that don't know, Senior played with Doug Gilmore's brother in Hamilton way back before any of this pro stuff, way back before. Well, I guess it would have been the late 60s or 1970, would it?
Would have been 69-70 season, yeah.
Okay.
Davey. Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that Doug had a brother that was such a good hockey player.
Yeah, I think Dave is quite a bit older than Dougie.
Yeah,
Dave would be, I'm turning 72 this year, Dave would be turning 74. He's 2 years. He came out in the 70 draft. I was 72.
Okay, so he's a couple of years older than you. So did he have similarities to Dougie? Did
Absolutely.
He shoot left?
Okay. I didn't realize it until the first time I met Dougie coming through here with the old timers that it just didn't hit me that he was Dave's brother. We were talking. Dave came up, and then I looked at him. I said, oh, my God. Oh, just like very, very much like him. And the way he played, slick, great skater, smart. He was just a really, really good hockey player.
And what kind of team did you guys have that year? I know you were had some good prospects. You didn't have any depth.
Right? I came through. You know, it was only a 10-team league, man. So every team was loaded. And that particular year, we had – Buster Harvey, number one pick, North Stars. The next year, we had like five number one picks. But that year, Buster was the biggest name we had. Ronnie Climie, third round pick. Myself, just a rookie. And we ended up 10 teams, eight made the playoffs. And we ended up playing against Oshawa, who had Terry O'Reilly, Bob the Hound, Kelly, Middleton. Oh, Jesus. They were.
Rick Middleton, was he a Snipin' Jr.? I mean, I'm saying
Middleton
I'm a big wasn't fan.
It. Middleton came the next year. I'm sorry, because Middleton's a year younger than me. He was absolutely. His nickname, I think, in the NHL was Slick. He was Slick.
That's why I said it, because of all
no
those
emotion,
early highlights, I like
no emotion.
It.
Like Jill Perreault, score a goal. Skate back to the circle, did my job, go to the bench. I admired that about him. But absolutely pure, pure skill.
I got a question.
Beautiful to watch.
Comes from Carl in Peterborough. So he asked me, was Bob Gainey as much of a standout in junior as you'd think, or was he two-way? And, you know, when you saw him, this is me paraphrasing. I write these questions down. When you saw him, his NHL success, were you surprised at
who?
Bob Gainey.
Gainey was strange. You know, I didn't realize it, but Gainey only played 1 year junior.
Oh, okay.
I was shocked. He was the same when I played against him. And I think even in my year, he didn't play that many games because at least I can remember. Maybe he played all the games he played that year against Hamilton, but I can distinctly remember playing against Gainey, same type. great, gangly, tall, gangly, long stride. Prototypical NHLer.
So it wasn't a surprise.
Montreal Canadiens, no.
Because it's not like the guy put up points every
year. No, because he was going to make the NHL on the skating alone. And he made Montreal on the skating. He chipped in with 15 a year.
Oh, he did.
But he killed all the penalties. Just a great, arguably the best skater in the NHL when he played.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
And he'd hit you. And he was a type. He wasn't like built like Potvin or anyone. When he hit you, he hurt you.
He had a good center of gravity.
Yeah, when he hit you, he hurt you. He was tall. He was about 6'3". So that alone, you know, he could be 6'3", 185 or 90. But
I find if you have a good – if you have a good center of gravity, like – it's funny because, like, say Paul Coffey wasn't a hitter, but if you go back and once in a while, like, no one really knocked him over. And if he'd go into the corner, he'd often, like, give a mini, but he was always had that center of gravity because he's such a good
Coffey
skater.
Was built. I'd say Coffey was 6 feet, 195, 200.
Way less. Yeah, I know. Because when you go back and watch, I don't remember him.
He was built.
Yeah. Like, he'd come in the corner and come out with the puck.
And hurting you.
Totally underrated
that way. And Gainey was the same way, Kitchener. And once again, the Montreal scouting. Gainey, and you can check it up after, I was absolutely amazed. One full year. Larry Robinson, one full year. And the thing was, in junior, at least in my day, no one is taking you if you're only got 1 year left. They got to have two, hopefully three. So Montreal picks Gainey at, I think, number 8. They pick Robinson at number 16 after 1 year junior. So you can't tell me they're looking ahead and saying, this guy only played 1 year junior. He never had a chance to develop if he had another year or two. So they projected him, and look how they ended up.
Yeah. Gainey played with two separated shoulders in the 85-86. Just for those that don't know, go back and watch. I mean, it was one of the first, my memories, because I was a Habs fan. I liked Chris Nyland. I've had him on here. Well, we just watched. What, there wasn't as much. Gretzky was on the go, but it's just, it's not like you had, it's, you didn't have anything on demand or anything. So, like, you might see a Gretzky highlight on TSN at the end of the week, but it's not like every night we could see this, but it, the Habs or the Leafs were on every night. So,
and getting back, excuse me, to the guy, the young fellow calling in from Peterborough, the 3 years that I played against Peterborough, the best by far that I played against to come out was Rick McLeish.
Okay, yeah,
he was just sensational. Was One of the very best skaters. Him and Perreault were the best skaters in the OHA.
So here's what's funny. You know what? You don't get your flowers here. I went back. So in 1974-75, you split the year between Muskegon and Lansing, right?
Yes.
In the IHL.
Yes.
After that, you'd go to Kalamazoo.
Yes.
And continue your point.
Well, I was down there with the North Stars, but Muskegon were going to run for the championship. So they, you know, they wanted me. So that's the year that...
Did you go from Lansing to Muskegon or Muskegon to Lansing?
No, I went from Lansing. We were just dead last.
Okay, so listen to this. Senior, I didn't realize this. So you get combined. Now, Muskegon...
Yeah.
Lansing, you have 41 games played, 19 goals, 37 assists, 56 points.
Yes.
You go to Muskegon, 31 remaining games, 15 goals, 30 assists, 45 points.
Yes.
So you had 101 points.
Yes. I was second all-star, fifth in scoring.
If you go on Wikipedia, doesn't give you fifth in scoring. Because I don't think they realize, or it's not, sorry, not Wikipedia. The only stats, I think it's called StatKings, whatever it is, anybody out there listening can look. And it says Rick Bragnallo.
Rick Bragnallo, yeah, for first. Washington, went straight to the NHL.
Yeah, first 113 points, but man, you're only 12 points away.
But I played 10 games less.
Less.
10, because they were working on a trade, and I was whatever. I played 10 games. That dawned on me after. I'm thinking at the end of the season, man. I was with
game.
The number one place team. So, I probably would have.
So
give me 10 more games on Muskegon. We're second stacked.
Second is Gary Ford on your team.
He was really good minor leaguer. Tremendous. 108. Yeah.
And I looked.
Tremendous.
He got points wherever he went, that guy.
He led the International League 3 or 4 years from Toronto. And I was talking. I said, 40. He got a chance. He went to Nova Scotia Voyageurs when Al McNeil was there, and he put points up, and he said he just, I think his wife is from Michigan, and he was making a good dollar in Michigan now. He was a legend. So I think 40 told me it wasn't worth his while, and he wasn't 20 years old then. So he figured, I'm going to go back. And he did.
And then you've got Kirk Bowman, Flint.
He went straight to Chicago Blackhawks.
108 points.
From Toronto,
Steve Self, Dayton, 103 points.
Now, I cannot remember Steve Self. I'm obviously he was there. I cannot remember that name. But I know the four guys in front of me went straight to the NHL.
Yeah. So Gary Ford, okay, he's 6 years older than you. Look at that, senior.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes.
From 67.
He was really good, Terry.
Till 79, he played the entire time except for once with Nova Scotia, 1 year.
Yeah.
He played with the Muskegon Mohawks.
Yeah, he was a legend.
12 years in a row.
Yeah, look at the points he put up.
Oh, 115, 102, 116, 109, 141.
Yeah, he was
108.
He was really, really good. One of the smartest I ever played with. What kept him back, he wasn't a great skater, but, man, everything else. And
got to figure you could put it together.
He was so.
It would have been nice for him to get a chance. You know.
Well, you know, just
let's see.
But that's the way it was back then, Terry. There wasn't 85 teams. Like there was, when I got drafted, there were 16 teams in the NHL, not 32. If I'm drafted today at 44, I'm a high second round pick. Oh. So, but I got nothing against that. You can't control when you're born. It is what it is. But too bad. You know?
And you're right. Gainey played that 1 year. 52.
I told you.
52 games, 22 goals, 21 assists.
I told you, 43 points.
99 minutes, just all round.
All round.
Yeah. And then anyway, so they got...
I was shocked. But look up...
Wait. They got, as the fifth scorer that year on this Stats Brothers, who pride themselves.
Yes.
Mike Powers with Columbus, 100 points, and you at 101.
No, I can't remember him either.
They didn't add them together.
You can just add them together. But How can you call yourself a professional organization and not have that? Come on. That's nickel and dime.
That's, yeah, that is.
Come your on. Together.
I know it is. Now, I never heard of this guy. You talk about him. And I saw a thing. I was watching a thing on the old IHL, like minor leaguers.
Yeah.
It was like minor league madness or something. One of these videos.
A lot of guys there could have made the Arbor. NHL. I played with Arbs in Minnesota, though.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't realize that. He had like 300 penalty minutes 1 year.
John Arbor won the toughest round.
Yeah, 5'11", too. He must have been a brick.
Yeah.
Was he?
But he could throw him like you.
Oh, well.
And, no, he was one of the guys on the team. He was Niagara Falls Flyers Memorial Cup champ, Sanderson's best buddy, Sanderson's best man at his wedding, and the nicest guy you want to meet. But
wow,
super, super tough. Oh, super herbs. Super tough.
I'd heard of him a little
toughest guy in the other team. Oh, yeah.
It's great now because a lot of these videos are coming out from the 70s and you get to see these guys.
Super tough.
So I don't even really heard his name. I looked, but I didn't realize like he was legit tough.
He was legit.
Did you guys have a weight room back then?
No.
No. You just got, like, was there like a beer fridge in the room?
Yeah.
Did guys smoke in the dressing room?
Yes.
Wow.
But you come in at the end of practice or whatever, and someone had, being in Minnesota, it could have been very well Coors or Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, there was strategic located 4 or 5 because we had a real nice big dressing room. And you just go over and press. You never put anything in, just press and the beer comes down. So some guys who could really drink stayed for a while before they got home.
Darting up right in the room.
Yeah.
A lot of guys probably spoke.
But that was Jerry, you know how
everybody
it worked.
Was the same.
You either did there or you went to a bar immediately after. I pitied the poor wives, but that was the culture of hockey. It probably still is. I'm sure it's a culture of any sport.
To some degree. It's not the culture anymore to dart in the room.
Well, it was then.
We even had the odd, because Molson owned the team when I was there. So like,
yeah, that's right.
So we would have beers. It wasn't like free-flowing like that.
No.
But after some games, well, definitely after games, there was a fridge there with beers in it. But we had more like, we had like trainers there. We had like people making food for us. We had, you saw our dressing room.
Yes.
I'm talking about the Montreal.
But if I'm going back to I'm going back 72, that's half a century ago.
I know.
The game of hockey or the sport has evolved, not only physically with sticks and skates, the culture around it has evolved. So there's no smoking anymore. Beer's not in the dressing room.
Oh, yeah.
But then it was a Wild West.
Picture.
Just a Wild West. My first year, I'm playing without a helmet. There's no helmets. No one wore a helmet.
Yeah, I know. It's wild.
Even in junior, they only mandated it in junior my second year. You turn pro, you didn't have to wear one. I didn't wear one. Wow. The only reason why I did when I went to the minors is they gave each player, you're going to laugh, back then it was decent though. We'll give you $500.
Oh, yeah.
If you wear a helmet. So I put a helmet on. Why not?
Yeah. Fair enough. Of course, I would have done the same.
A bonus then, a decent bonus. Now, I'm telling you, because I know how it worked. I know guys who, Wayne Conley, who scored 40 with the North Stars, $1,000, $2,000 for, we'll say, 30 goals.
When
$2,000.
I remember the people used to...
I got shorthanded goals. They'd rip up my contract because when they realized I'm going to kill penalties mostly, they said, Terry, we know you're not going to realize your goals you got in your contract. Sean Moore was good enough to rip it up and do it up again. And I made more money because I scored 6 shorthanders at $1,000 a pop. At $6,000, I was making 15 for the year. So they did me a favor.
It was the 70s. There must have been.
I mean, the average salary in the NHL is around 12.
I'm not asking you to sell anybody out, but like at the time, now it's not a big deal. Were people smoking weed? I mean, they were hippies, weren't they?
No, really? I didn't.
I know. I hear.
I know that even in junior, I never experienced any of that. We had, if you did weed, it was known throughout the league. I remember one guy on the Marlies got traded to us. I won't mention his name. He ended up playing for the Toros, and he was a pretty good player, but he smoked weed. And we had a couple of guys, not dope, you know, they did it a little bit. And in Minnesota, a couple of guys, you know, did a couple of joints. But overall,
it was mostly bar culture.
No. And absolutely, absolutely not any Coke. That didn't exist, at least in my world. Yeah, it didn't exist. And it wasn't, and you'd know, like, oh, no, the guys are in the room, so you wouldn't go in. Didn't exist. Beer. It was all booze.
I think, according to when I talked to some guys from that era, I think right after, like, late 70s, that came in.
Well, because the Big Dough came out then. The real, real Big Dough. Yeah. And you could afford it. Didn't exist in my world, not in junior, and I'm really grateful for it. Not even in junior. We had a few guys that went out for a beer, the guys that didn't go to school. But if you went to school, like a lot of us went to university or whatever, you didn't drink. No, I went out maybe St. Patrick's Day, got gassed. I wasn't a drinker. I didn't really start drinking till I turned pro with Minnesota. I wasn't a drinker.
Describe Paul Biz Nasty Bissonette in one sentence.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Because what he seems to be, he's not.
I know.
He is shrewd.
Yeah.
He's surprisingly smart. He does what you, it doesn't seem like, oh, this guy's not, he's really smart and shrewd and generous.
That's a pretty good description. Your favorite non-rock album?
Oh boy. Non-rock means it's sort of like James Taylor-ish.
I suppose it could be anything. It could be Miles Davis.
It's not going to be jazz, though. I do like jazz, and I do like, I know what you're saying.
It's anything. You know? I had to think about that myself.
I'm going to pull three at the top of my head.
I shouldn't say favorite because you'd have to be here all day to read.
You would. Well,
it's
a very subjective thing. It's a personal thing, right? So I tell you, I really, really like 10cc, one with I'm Not in Love and things you do. I think it's called The Bends where they're coming up with it.
I like it
and I like their songs, their humor, and they're not, I don't consider 10cc rock. You know, no. They are, but.
I'll let you away with that. For nothing else than people listening who have no idea who they are, check them out. They are pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I'm not in love.
Now, 10cc, side note, isn't that the measurement for one load? One man's.
That's what I heard.
I've read it too. Okay.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
Can we talk about everything? I've never, ever heard you say that.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard. The Lovin' Spoonful and 10cc were both
for both semen.
Measure.
For semen. Average. Yeah. Average
that's
orgasm for a man.
Isn't that the Love and Spoonful too? Or
it could. Now I never read it. Love and Spoonful. The first thing I thought of was smack and heroin. With I don't know why.
Maybe
because none of them were really into that. But first thing I just thought of for them. I don't know.
Check that out too. My favorite by them would be Do You Believe in Magic?
That's nice. No, my very they were. Now you're getting you're hitting a
you
real
didn't
soft
have to be
spot
so nice.
Me. They were the only group when the British invasion hit the States that held their own. They were knocking off the Beatles. They added about 10. Every song, if you think of them, Love and Spoonful, every song is different from the auto harp to the Me and You and Rain on the Roof to the Summer in the City. To the Do You Believe in
Summer
Magic?
In the You Didn't Have to Be So Nice.
That's my favorite by them. Didn't Have to Be So Nice.
Summer in the City. Now everybody will know. Yeah, senior, I'm in more to the melodies when it comes to them. But Summer
it's
in
so
the
unique.
City is a banger. Yeah. I mean,
but they actually held their own. Everyone else got wiped out. That's when the Beatles, top five in a row, Beatles. No, Love and Spoonful held their own. You check them out. They had two or three number ones, number twos. They were an excellent group.
Great band. Okay, your favorite magazine right now that you like to read?
Vanity Fair.
Followed by
best writing to me, investigative journalism. Good. Not only that, it's just got everything. And Uncut Magazine, which was a music magazine from England, will be number two.
It's funny, investigative journalism, because that
it breaks all the stories.
But there used to be that in everything. Like I certainly don't want to get political, but if you were to look at Fox or CNN, which represent both sides in the States, to put it lightly, But they don't have much of that anymore.
No, they don't.
It used to be a lot of it. It's now it's all day breaking news, which isn't really breaking.
It's a niche magazine. But the people...
Rolling Stone
put it this way. The people who read Vanity Fair would, generally speaking, because the writing is so good, be educated...
Informed.
Educated, middle class at the very worst. Yeah, well-informed.
They're well-informed.
And I'm not saying putting people that are not educated down at all, but generally speaking, the writing is so good.
Totally.
And the words tend to be very collegial, and you got to know what's going on, you know?
It is interesting. I didn't give it a chance for a while.
Oh, I can't wait for it to come out once a month.
Looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58? Well, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. New customers can bet on the big game and turn $5 into $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58, with promo code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources.
Your favorite female music artist? You know, give me a couple that you would put up there. I mean, I wouldn't know where.
You know something? One that I loved with her first album when it came out, I loved it. But since I'm after...
Could be a band
fading away from her because I find it's the same bullshit. But the first one was spectacular. It was Adele.
Oh, yeah.
But her other two now, it's the same thing. Ah, the crescendo. Great voice. But the first one I think is brilliant. I always like Joni Mitchell. You can't escape her.
Joni Mitchell.
Heyhira, Sparks of, God, what's that one? Court and Spark.
Anyway, Big Yellow Taxi.
Well, I'm naming album. Well, Big Yellow Taxi.
Oh yeah, I forget.
Woodstock. Oh, everyone forgets. Probably they think, oh,
I know.
No, Joni Mitchell wrote that.
Yeah, yeah.
They stole it.
Everybody
her.
Does. I hear it on even on the rock channels. I'm like, well, I'd like to. You know, you should say like when Jeff Healey comes on with "While My Guitar Gently Weeps."
Oh yeah.
It
I know
is the Beatles.
I know
it's a nice version, but I like when they just say it.
It is, yeah.
You know, yeah. You give Joni Mitchell's. You wrote the song. You should probably get some credit on the airwaves. Okay. What did I have to ask you, Senor? Oh, here we go. I didn't realize we were talking about Vegreville, and Dennis Cassian. You played with is from there. Did you realize that?
No, I didn't.
He's from Lanx's hometown.
Cass.
I was. On there looking up Damon Lankow, and it said notable people from Vegreville, and it said Scott Lankow, Damon Lankow, Zenith Komarniski, Dennis Cassian.
Great guy. Yeah.
Oh, was he? Where'd you play with him? I
got traded. Not traded, actually. I got picked up because I was complicated. They were Edmonton Oilers and WHA Farm Club, and he was sent down from the Oilers. He played a bit for them the year before, and so all the team was Edmonton Oiler prospects, but they picked me up because I was good and they were having the run at it too.
Do you think you could have been an actor?
Absolutely.
Whoa!
Oh, no question.
Not even you didn't even hesitate there.
No, because I've got the qualities for it. I'm outgoing. I think I'm creative. I can make, yeah, no question. That's an easy one.
Did you ever do any form of it?
Yeah.
I remember you saying
when like I grew up, I remember when I was 10, we did in a small town I grew up, but it was a really good artistic community, about 10,000 in Grand Falls. We had Neela Griffin, and it was a play called Mrs. McThing. And I was the main character. It's about a young boy. And I sort of forget, and he gets kidnapped or something. But I was the main character. All these lines, I was 10 years old, on stage, of course. and I went to the Newfoundland Drama Festival. And I think I got nominated. I'm not sure. But anyway, yeah, that was a a big part. I had a lot of lines to learn. And but I wouldn't have a problem with that, no.
Are you looking forward to Shoresy Season 3?
Absolutely. Absolutely. As are a lot of other people. Certainly when we were in Toronto, I didn't realize how many fans. It was really almost on a shocking.
When
we walked in to that Elgin Theater and the boys were on stage because it was spit and chiclets. It wasn't like ball hockey or whatever. So we had tickets to get there. I was in the second deck, and I had to get to my seat. I had to go through like 20, 30 people. And they all stood up high-fiving me saying, senior, senior, people behind me yelling it out. So I was touched, of course. I find it amusing, but I can see how, can you imagine someone like Brad Pitt or whatever?
I can't. Well, we went to the Rec Room there.
But I enjoyed it, and I thanked them all.
Nice,
I mean,
to be
great, great, great
part
people.
Of some, yeah, yeah, yeah. So positive. But, because I often tell people, I'm like, when you're here, you don't see the weight of Shoresy or Chiclets, because everybody knows us anyway.
Yes.
Like if I go out, everybody's like very positive. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. They're very positive, but people are numb to it. Like they're happy for me. They'll hug. Hey, the Growlers again. Like there's always something, but no one here is like, oh my God, that's Terry Ryan. They're all senior. Right.
Yes.
But they're just because we've been part of the,
they see the character. Terry, listen to this one. You didn't. I don't think maybe you were there. We were going upstairs to that King Taps, it's called.
Yeah, King Taps.
King Taps. Went in, a nice Toronto bar. And this young fellow was coming down the steps. He wasn't looking. And he took a right because you had to, at the bottom, there was a little curve, two steps down. And he looks at me and he says, I can't fucking believe it. It's Terry Ryan Sr., I said, in the flesh. And he said, you made my night. Can I get my picture taken with you?
Oh, yeah.
I said, why not? There's an example. He was.
Because up there.
He was effusive with his praise.
Yeah, up there, it's still like, it's like people, they run into you or I by chance. And again, I'm not trying to inflate anybody's tires.
It's just big
everything
thing,
here in Newfoundland.
I love it.
We're into it. Yeah, we're into a little, it's our own bubble in a way. It's a nice, positive one. And again,
yes,
no lack of attention.
No.
But it's not so much
no one would do
a celebrity
that.
As, we're seeing one of the boys.
No right? one would do that. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, like that.
And that's good, too.
What are your cup predictions? Who do you think is going to be in the final, East-West?
Oh man,
it's gonna be tough, man. I don't know.
I got to pick the Oilers now with what they're doing, where they came from, performing the way everyone had them picked to perform. I'm picking them out of the West, and although I do give the Knights they're gonna be hard to beat.
I know they're a bit of a slump.
They're so solid.
That's what beat Edmonton last year.
Four solid lines, and the East, I think, will be. I'm not sold on Bob. I know what they got.
Florida.
I'm not sold on them. Just put it this way. I think in the East, there's a chance for more upsets than the West.
Yeah, definitely. There could be any. Yeah. I mean, there's so many teams in contention. It's almost like they're right there. It's like the East if you just get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think the West is way dominant over the East. We're not even talking about a team like Dallas that could very well win it all.
I know, yeah. And
they're my kind of team.
Go on a run, right?
But the East, I didn't think New Jersey'd keep it up with the way they started. I wasn't sold on them, and I'm still not. I just don't think.
What about the Rangers? They started
not sold on the Rangers at all. Now, I think last year it was mostly on Shesterkin. Is it?
Yeah,
if he doesn't perform well,
I just don't think they can win the cup.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think they can go a couple of rounds.
Yeah.
You got to go four. No, I don't see it.
You got to go four. Now, what I love, I mean,
Boston will be hard to beat. Having said that, if they get the goaltending, it looks like they got it, but I think they could be upset.
Think Pittsburgh gets in?
No. And I love Crosby. I love all of them.
I tend to cheer for it.
Like, I just don't think they're going to get in.
I tell people, like, they ask me, oh, you love Crosby because I talk about him. I don't. We're not Pittsburgh fans. We never have been. But I've always been a Lemieux fan and then a Crosby.
And I love Malkin too.
I know Malkin.
Such a beautiful player.
And Letang.
Yeah, and Letang.
If they get in, I'm kind of in the back of my
mind.
They
could cause problems if they get in.
If they get
in. Based on their... history.
Remember the last time they got in, they snuck in the last day of the season.
Because they got the experience and they know how to win.
But the only thing is,
they're going to be going right down to the wire, man.
The 30 games between them with a bunch of older guys. If they get in, I'm sure all of them can reset and go, okay, we only got, but right now it's these monotonous games that, like, I'm not going to say they mean nothing, but they just feel like it's the middle of this long. I've often said the hockey season's too long, but this time now between now and the playoffs, a lot of teams, usually it's, there's more of an obvious trajectory, but it's not obvious right now. That being said, Crosby's having one of his best years he's ever had.
Well, 27, 28 goals. I mean, guy's 36 years old.
Does Matthews get 70? He's got 40.
Well, he's the best scorer in the NHL, I think.
He scores every way, senior.
I just think he's the best.
Every way.
Like, I wasn't sold on I'm going to call him Gus, because every Austin I grew up, we call him Gus.
Yes.
Gus has sold me. He is a great player. He's he's the best goal scorer, I think, bar none. Yeah. He's got the shot, the instinct, just got everything.
It goes to the area. He goes in front. A lot of them are like, you know, you're just looking, that's Austin Matthews. But of course, he's going there now and he's got that touch too. But he's also got the cannon. Like,
yes.
Again, I hate to compare these.
More than anything, I didn't realize how hard his shot is.
His snapshot.
I did not realize, and make no wonder the goalies haven't got a chance.
Yeah, man. It's just, and he can place it really well, right? So he just.
He's a number one. He went number one. That's what I expect. But even for a number one, he's giving you more than a number one.
What was the furthest, by the way, you got in your pro experience? I mean, it wasn't that long. It's not like you played 15
years.
What's that?
No. But I could have played longer.
No,
it's just that I wanted to be a teacher. I had a couple of degrees, and I didn't want to ride buses anymore.
But I can say in Freddie, we got to the semis. In Orlando, we won.
Oh, well, we got Muskegon, real, real bad coach. We walked through the first round. And second round, which was LA's Farm Club, Mario Lessard beat us. He was in the nets 7 games.
Okay, 7 games in the second round.
But Lessard beat us. He went straight to the Kings next
year. You want a team that had a chance. So sometimes you start the year.
Semifinals.
You know, you're like, okay, we don't have anybody
this year.
No,
we went to the semis.
We're going to lose, right? But like when I was in Colorado Springs,
it's not like today's leagues where there's 30 teams in the I or in the A or in the E. You're going 4 rounds. Back then, there were 10 teams in the International League. So basically speaking, you went boom, boom, 3 rounds at the most, maybe 2. We got knocked off in the semis. It was 2 by Saginaw.
Senior, listen, man.
And the coach of Saginaw went to the LA Kings next year, Don Perry.
So I'm going to the interview is pretty much over. I'm going to go to Orlando tomorrow. For those that didn't realize, I'm taking Penny Lane down. Remember the last time you were there?
I was there.
We went. It was it's
where you won your championship.
We just won. So, David, I'm. You know what? You know he's got us an unreal hotel, right?
No, I did not know that.
So but guys, my own owner, his name is David Warnicker. If you hear it in the Brit, it's Warnicker.
I know. The rings he gave you were like Stanley Cup championship rings.
Awesome.
And that says everything about the owner when he goes out. And they were like diamonds.
He's wicked. So we were gonna do.
They were known as the Orlando Seals,
and we won it 20 years ago. So we were gonna.
You did.
We were going to do the alumni thing.
I know.
But there wasn't enough involved. So
I never
said,
met
I'm going to take Penny Lane anyway.
Yeah.
So we're going to go down, and Zach Boyer's coming up. He's the one. So Zach, we're going to have dinner with Zach tomorrow.
Zach.
First time I see
three Memorial Cups, Kamloops Blazers, of course.
Winner in the big one.
Yeah, scored.
Overtime
Seattle.
Peter Meyer to Boyer.
Yeah.
Check that out. 1992, Seattle hosted it. Kamloops are playing Seattle in the final back when the Western League was well on top.
Check out the team. Niedermeyer, Sador, Aginla, Doan, Tucker.
Wait.
Oh, my God.
That's
Jerry.
within
gotta
that
be
span.
Be one of the greatest ever.
Within the 3-year span. Aginla wasn't on that first team.
Okay.
But in the 3-year span.
Strudwick.
You know, Aginla won 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, Strudwick.
Doan won 2.
Doan. Nat Domenichelli. People keep forgetting how good this guy
Atlanta.
Was.
Atlanta, yeah.
Yeah, and just went overseas after that. He got good money. It was back
Corey Hirsch.
Oh, my God, Corey Hirsch. And the goalie in that, Steve Passmore.
Yeah.
Nolan Baumgartner.
Baumgartner.
Guys like Brad Lukowich I've had on here, two Stanley Cups. He was like their 6D. I'm not kidding you. Jason Holland played in Buffalo. You don't even bring his name up. And arguably their best D. That
Ken Hitchcock coach.
And then Tom Reddy and then
Tom Reddy. All three.
That's the three.
All three went to the NHL.
Randy, Don Hay.
Yeah.
So people ask me and they go, it must have sucked to be in that division. I'm like, well, if you wanted to win the Memorial Cup, yes.
It did.
But we had all kinds of eyes on us.
Yeah.
Right?
No question.
Why did me, Langs, and Bush so solidly go in that?
It helped.
Like
that
Bush,
way.
That'll help. Like me and Langs were up there. Now, I think other things.
Long range, it helped.
Yeah.
Long range.
But long range, it definitely helped.
Yeah.
Whether it was a few places.
Oh, the big scouts were in the building to watch anyone playing Kamloops.
Yeah. We went six games. Yeah. So I remember me and Langs tied for the league.
You nearly beat them. Yeah.
Me and Langs tied for the scoring lead, and we didn't make the final. We had 27 points each.
Yeah.
And Bush, that team that won the Memorial Cup Championship 9-1 on home ice versus Brian Berard and the Detroit Junior Red Wings. The next year became
Plymouth
Whalers. 9-1.
And Berard went number one.
Six, and Brian Boucher stood on his head. Like, if the CHL All-Star Game was my coming out party, Bush was already good, but all eyes were on him, and he took, he stopped 52 shots one night back with all that little shitty.
But Terry, having
on.
Said that, you're with Tri-City, Sheldon Surrey, you, Lankow, Boucher, Sugar Ray Schultz went to the Islanders.
Yaroslav
Slavkovsky.
People forget Slavkovsky.
Pavel, what was his last name?
Pavel Kreese,
third rounder.
Yoki,
number one pick, Washington. You guys, it's not like you came out of nowhere. You guys, anywhere else except against the Blazers, were a good team.
Boyd Olson, if you're listening, you were that time. At that time, I thought the modern day Bob Gainey.
Yeah, you were. Ole, now I'm telling you, I think I know a little bit. You really got. You got shortchanged too. You were, of all the ones going through, certainly the best skater.
Definitely.
And I would have had you on an NHL team to kill penalties on your skating alone. You would have chipped in with your 10 to 15 a year.
100%. I totally agree. I thought it right back when we played junior.
What a skater. It was all like, wow. It was like, wow.
I know. Should at least be had a few games. But anyway, whatever.
Yes.
Boyd's real happy living in Alberta.
Of course.
Awesome family.
Of course. And I hope he's listening.
Yeah,
Boyd, I tell you, I hope everything goes well for you, and I'm sure it has.
On that note, Senior, you got nothing else to plug, nothing to promote. You had a good time at the All-Star game.
Absolutely fabulous.
So shout out. Thanks to the Chicklets guys for getting them in to get us
absolutely.
Into their show. Thanks for Alex Penner, who plays Palmer in the Sue Hunt in the show Shorzy. He was awesome. Ryan McDonald. Taran Samwith and Jeremy Hart picked up every meal.
Fantastic.
Thanks a lot, guys. Max Bouffard, it was awesome to see you. Cam Fergus and David Picko and Janet Cole, a bunch of people that we ended up running into.
And just give a shout-out to Jesse. It was good.
Oh, of course.
Wish we could have seen more of, but we had so much on the go, we couldn't really, I was glad we dropped down the Gretzky's at that afternoon, whatever, but he had things happening too.
Check it out if you're in Toronto. Gretzky's basement, newly open, and it's right
great
there.
Great spot.
I forget. I know it's on Avenue and something. It's downtown.
I don't know streets. So I'm no good.
If you're downtown,
it's
a walk.
It's right down the heart of the city. I know that.
Anyway, thanks for tuning in. This has been Tales with Tierra, episode 181B. If you're downtown St. John's, why not have a beer? Why not? Check out George Street one way or the other, whether it's a beer, a coffee, a Diet Coke. It's a great place to be, and if I was there, I'd check out Trinity Pub, TJ's Pub, Rob Roy Confusion, Martini Bar, Greensleeves Pub, and the Bull and Barrel. If I'm going for a bite to eat, I'd start right above Greensleeves Pub to the Loose Tie, the most improved restaurant in town. I'd also go to Blue on Water, Merchant Tavern, and, of course, Wedgwood Cafe. Wedgwood Cafe on Elizabeth Avenue also does catering. See Peter Wedgwood at Wedgwood Cafe. You want strength and balance for the body and mind? Check out Ryan Power, power conditioning on Rope Walk Lane. Strength and balance for the body and mind. If you want Mr. Lube, there's two locations in St. John's, Newfoundland. One's on Torbay Road, one's on Kenmount Road. Live, laugh, lube. Pitbull Pain Relief, the pain sticks that just don't quit. Go to pitbullpainrelief.com, see what all the fuss is about. And, of course, True Hockey, take what's yours. Folks, we'll be back in just a couple of days with more Tales with TR. After a trip to Orlando, Florida with my daughter. So next time I'm on here.
And hopefully sometime in the future, this goes out to Josh Reddick. I never got a chance to talk to you, Josh, but at some point I'm going to see you in Houston for sure.
We'll be at an Astros game real
soon. Sure.
So this won't be the only trip down south. Thanks for tuning in, folks. I'll be back in just a couple of days with more Tales with Tierra. I'll catch you all on the rebound.